What's the line between homage and theft? What makes something inspired by X versus a ripoff of X? That is the question on today's short episode of The Legendarium, brought to you by The Legendarium. Go to thelegendarium.com for more episodes, plus links to Patreon and Discord. Now, these short episodes, speaking of Discord, these short episodes are all about starting a discussion, getting people talking about things like this question, and a lot of that discussion will happen on Discord. So if you haven't joined our Discord yet and you've kind of been inclined to do so, then now is a good time. If you don't want to get on Discord, or like me, you're too old to know what it was until somebody pointed it out to you and started one for you, then you can always go tweet at me, at LegendariumPod. Would be a good place to go. And if you want to ask your own question for me to address on these short episodes, I am going to prioritize anything that comes in through email. So you can email me at craig@thelegendariumpodcast.com. So let's get on with it. All right, Sir Ravis, that's a Discord user, Sir Ravis asked the question, where do you draw the line for books that are products of inspiration and those that are just ripping off previous works? So, yeah, what's the difference between homage or inspiration and straight up theft? Well, all right, so I like this question a lot. We got a few questions this week, and this is the one I plucked out because I really like it. And I really like it because it's something that's kind of bugged me for a while. And you know how it is, things that bug you tend to, you know, be, well, inspirational, for lack of a better word. But it's bugged me for a little while just because I think that if you are somebody who cares a lot about this issue, then maybe try not caring so much. Be less hung up about it. It's, how should I put this? Yes, there is theft. There is such a thing as theft. But where is that line? How do we draw that line? Ultimately, I think what I come down to on this is cite your sources. You know, it's like an academic paper. What's the difference between plagiarism and quotation? It's citing your sources. And so if you're open and honest about where your ideas came from, then I don't see much of a problem. And so when we're thinking about it in terms of fantasy literature, obviously, the big name that looms over everything is Tolkien, right? So Tolkien is the inspiration for so many books and series that came after. And that's going to be the case in any medium, right? So anytime you have a popular thing, that's going to breed imitators. Is that so bad? I don't think that's such a bad thing. I mean, like with music, we have Nirvana. They gave us a raft of grunge acts. The Beatles started the British invasion, you know, so there's always going to be imitators that come along after the popular thing. What's the thing? The Hunger Games series, you know, and then we had Divergent, we had the Maze Runner and all sorts of stuff that go along with it. And what's great is it creates this giant stew, this giant pot for people to dip into and extract the things that they like. I'm getting a little bit lost here with my metaphor. So let me just back up and go back to music. So if you like the Beatles, great. Then you like the Beatles, and you might also like Oasis, and you might like the Monkees, and you might, you know, there's all these imitators and you know, inspired bys that come later that are going to be attractive to one person and not the other. And you know, that's the beauty of the creative scene, is that we get all of these different things for us to enjoy or not. And I think when we ask the question of, you know, what crosses the line, when is it theft, when is it inspiration, it reminds me a lot of Wit's monologue at the end of, I want to say, Words of Radiance, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was at the end of Words of Radiance. So if you've read the Stormlight Archive, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, don't worry, I'm not spoiling anything. A character has a little monologue about what is it that human beings value the most. And, you know, is it creativity? Is it this or that, the other? And he comes to the conclusion, no, the thing that people value the most is novelty. And I don't particularly... Maybe agree with him. I don't know that I agree or disagree as far as, you know, on the level of, yes, this is how humans are. But if that's the case, it's something that I would push back against. Novelty is good. It's great. You know, whether it's the Beatles or Nirvana or whatever, it's anytime you have that breath of fresh air, that's fantastic. But I think more important than being first, than being new, is to be good. If that makes any sense, it makes more of a difference to me that a book or a band or a show or whatever, it makes more of a difference to me that that thing be well done than that it be first. And Tolkien wasn't even new. So we talk about him as kind of the trunk of the tree that is fantasy literature nowadays, right? But even he wasn't new. He took a stew of old stories and he put them in the pot and he added his own new ingredients. And so he only had a couple of things in The Lord of the Rings that you can't really trace back to other sources, right? The ring wraiths, the entire idea of a quest being to get rid of something instead of getting something. So there are a couple of little original things, but most things you can trace back to some source or another. So even he wasn't that new, right? And so that's how you get a new story, is by taking other elements, adding your own little spice to it, and calling it your own. So on the subject of fantasy literature, if we're progressing beyond Tolkien, okay, so what came next? We have to talk about Terry Brooks. Terry Brooks published The Sword of Shannara in 1977, and he was, it's kind of similar to the way Tolkien went, you know, as far as I have a source, I'm going to add my own spin. But the difference there is that Tolkien had a bunch of ancient sources, you know, and some modern stuff, but mostly the stuff that he was studying as an academic. And so Tolkien had all these sources and he put it all together and put his own spin on it. Whereas Terry Brooks basically had one major source, Tolkien. Now, does that mean that he crossed the line into theft because he didn't have, such a broad array of inspirations, at least that we can detect? And what about his own creative additions to the Sword of Shannara? Okay, so there's a ton of stuff that's similar to the Lord of the Rings. You know, the skull bearers are just like the ring race, and you've got the Dark Lord in his the Skull Kingdom, and you know, it's all very, very similar. The Battle of, I think it's called Tirsis, is very much like the Battle of Minas Tirith or something like that. So there's a lot of similarities. But he had his own creative additions, adding elements from his favorite Westerns, for instance. So, you know, yeah, he is a little bit different because he had that one major source, but he did do his own, he put his own spin on things. And so is that theft? I don't think so. I'm not inclined to ding him too hard for that. Just because he's not new doesn't mean it's not good, right? And then he kicks off, so Terry Brooks, Sword of Shannara, starts selling really, really well, and it kind of kicked off this whole new era in fantasy publishing. So first it started out as Terry Brooks cribbing off of Tolkien, and then it was Terry Brooks and David Eddings and Marion Zimmer Bradley and Margaret Weiss and Stephen King and Glenn Cook and Robin McKinley and Piers Anthony and on and on and on. The list goes on for a long time, starting there in about the 80s, 70s, 80s, somewhere in there. Anyway, and all these authors got their inspiration from somewhere. They often got it from each other or from Tolkien or whatever. And sometimes it was about homage, right? I want to pay my respect to this genre that I love. I think maybe the best example of that has to be Aragon, the Christopher Paolini book. When did that come out? The early 2000s, late 90s, something like that. Basically, Aragon was an homage to every fantasy story of the previous 50 years or so. There was essentially, I haven't read it in years, but as I recall, there was no original content in that book. And that's okay. As far as I'm concerned, that is okay, as long as, or I should say, it would have been okay if he had been a better writer. I ding that book for not being very good, not because it was pulling inspiration from so many other places. You know, we ought to cover that on the show sometime. I think Ryan and I were talking about that recently. I think it'd be fun to do for a lot of reasons, but one of them would be just to marvel at how bad some of the passages are. And I shouldn't wallow in that because he was a teenager at the time, so no big deal. Anyway, so where was I? All these authors, okay, they might be paying homage to their sources. Sometimes they take something and they say, you know, I like that, but I think this twist would make it better. So they change just one tiny little element of it. Tolkien, again, is another good example of that. So if you've seen the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings, then you might remember... the thing about the Ents. You think, oh man, the Ents are so original. Who would have thought of walking, talking trees? But basically what he was doing was cribbing off of Shakespeare, who in Macbeth, when Anon methought the wood began to move, a character looks and sees the trees start moving, and then it turns out it's some guys with, you know, they're holding branches and have some leaves in their hair, and Tolkien was like, oh, you know what? That would have been really cool if he would have just followed through and made some walking, talking trees. And that's where the Ents came from. So yeah, sometimes it is about just adding your own little twist to it. And then sometimes when you're responding to a work, using it as inspiration, it's kind of a negative inspiration. Man, I hated that. That was a big miss. Here's my response to it. And so we get something like Philip Pullman writing the Golden Compass and those sequels. What was that series called? His Dark Materials. That's what it is. So there wouldn't be Philip Pullman without C.S. Lewis, because that's what he was essentially responding to, was C.S. Lewis's fantasy books and his worldview. What was it? Paul Verhoeven directed Starship Troopers, and it's basically the opposite of the book because he hated the book. He hated that source material. So, you know, that kind of thing happens a lot. I know that's a little different because that's an adaptation. But this is part of what makes art so vibrant, in my opinion. So we have, take Aretha Franklin, for instance. She stole, you know, in quote unquote, stole the song Respect from Otis Redding. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. Her version of Respect is not the original. Otis Redding sang it first. But when he sang it, it was kind of a sad, desperate man begging for respect from his woman. But when Aretha Franklin got her hands on it, and when she sang it, it became about a powerful and confident woman demanding respect. So it's the same material, but the way that she looked at it made it different. And I think there's something to that with books as well. You know, just because you can see where the inspiration came from doesn't mean it's not this author's own idea, you know, them putting their own spin on it. And speaking of which, actually, now that we're talking about covers, that would be interesting. I would love to see, I'm curious about the legal issues around this, but wouldn't it be interesting to see if books had covers, ha ha ha. But, you know, the way that songs have covers, wouldn't it be interesting if books could have covers where somebody, you know, it's not Terry Brooks kind of taking the story beats from The Lord of the Rings and writing The Sword of Shannara, but he literally rewrote The Lord of the Rings and put his own spin, his own flavor on it, his own prose, whatever. Wouldn't that be interesting to see? Okay, maybe The Lord of the Rings is untouchable in that way. I don't know. But maybe you take a book like Aragon that is perfectly acceptable story-wise, but just isn't very well written. What if somebody came along and rewrote it and called it a cover? That could be interesting. Anyway, sorry, I'm going way far afield now. The bottom line here is, as far as I'm concerned, is that as long as artists, in this case, authors, as long as they are upfront about their sources, then I have very little to maybe no problem with them stealing, you know, again, quote unquote, stealing from other authors. We're all swimming in the same pool when it comes to stories. And so, so everything is going to be inspired by or in response to something else. And as far as I'm concerned, that's okay. But let me know what you think. Go to Discord. You can find the link at thelegendarium.com. You can join the Discord, hop in the episode discussion channel, and we can hash it out there. I'm sure there are elements of this that I'm forgetting about and not talking about. I have a couple notes, but really the part of the point of this is for me to just, you know, kind of expound on a subject and then you guys go and fill in the gaps where I leave them. Anyway, so yeah, I'd love to hear from you there. Go to patreon.com/legendarium and support the show. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Oh, speaking of Patreon, thank you so much. We've had a bunch of new patrons in the last couple of weeks. I really, really appreciate it. It's been wonderful and humbling and fills me with gratitude. It's fantastic. So thank you for doing that. And yeah, email your questions to craig@thelegendariumpodcast.com, and I will see you guys next week.